The text is from the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John. We read verses 27 to 29. The Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 27 to 29. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no man said, "What seekest thou?" Or, "Why talkest thou with her?" The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, "Come, see a man who's told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" The Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 27 to 29. Upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Had they known as much about her as Jesus Christ did, I know that they would have been sorely offended. But it's to be noticed that when they joined company with their dear Lord, that the woman moved onward. In her heart, the Lord had given her a mission, and she was to take a message of salvation to those within the city to whom she belonged. May ruffle us a little probably sometimes when we say, "Well, why couldn't he abuse the man? Because he chose this woman." Remember, we must, each of us, he's a king. He is a superior. He's the author of salvation. He had just right to go into Samaria. You consider that appointment, friends, it was made before time ever began, that Jesus Christ should meet that poor wretched woman. It was made in the covenant of grace in eternity before the world was formed. As much as your salvation was, if it's there, your name is there. You may and I may well be lost. Is it there? This is not theory to me, it's truth. One time I didn't believe any of it. I could look upon the whole thing as a mixture and rubbish, but not now. I believe, and often it looks like this, with tears I believe, and say to him, "Lord, help me my unbelief." And we want to believe it more. And what is there to believe? The power of God and the salvation. Power of God, the power in Christ that he was God and is God, co-equal with the Father and with the Spirit, the three eternal, one in three and three in one. They work together for the well-being, for the salvation, and the eternal safety of poor, miserable, undone sinners like us. You believe it. Not because you were brought up in it, because the Lord separated you like he separated this woman, separated me, and looked, said, "No, here's the truth. Here's the truth as it is in Jesus." A wretched, miserable, undone sinner, but the woman of Samaria, no, friends, not so much that you believe. And where did it bring us? Where Paul was brought. Where he cried out, and I believe, and I felt sometimes like us, he is not ready to despair of his own state. "Oh, wretched man that I am! Oh, wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me?" As if the poor man was ready to sink, "Who should deliver me?" Trying to grasp at something. Have you ever done this? Has the Lord ever brought you? "Oh, I shall help. I shall help." You won't. You won't. the most important thing that the dear Spirit of God does for you and I first, he shows us, like Jesus told the woman, all things that ever we did. Now, put it in the book of self, your book of your catalog. I've been weary and tired running around chapters for over 30 years, 33 years, you know, almost a year. There's someone else in their sin, someone else in their fault, some minister, here and there, and all the cattle, and all the backbite, and all the slander, and I go home and I say, they don't know much there yet about themselves, not the poor woman. Jesus, he told her all that ever she did. Let me ask you tonight in this chapel, as Jesus by his Spirit ever showed you all that ever you did, I'll never be enough for you to go home and you will be done before God. It's true. I know it to be true. And the Lord brings you in. Guilt. You think of all your life. I said to a friend the other evening, the Lord has took me back to the time, and I can remember when I was 4 years old. The Lord took me back right till I was 4 years of age, and he showed me a line in the catalogue I might have told you before, right down to that very day, and I was shocked. He told me all that ever I did. Makes you to feel, if ever my poor soul be saved, Jesus Christ must be the way. There's no other way. No other way for this woman. There's a point in the first place here. You see, the disciples came and they marveled that he talked with her. Now we won't enlarge too much on it, but the way she was living is not according to the law. Said the poor thing, she had this number of husbands. It's by way to mention it, the one she had there was her husband. And then she must needs come down to the well. Look, she shared the water with the others. She went to the same well as the respectable people, remember. She drew that was needful for her and her family. So did other respectable people. Went to the same place. The time came when the dear Redeemer was there, sitting on the well, waiting for her. Doesn't say she was a respectable citizen. She was one of the most demonics in Samaria, I can say. Now, Jesus had an appointment. Now was the time of grace. Now was the time when salvation must come into the heart and house, and the soul of this poor woman made a real one, made a monument of grace. And would you not agree, it is a special grace, friends, a special grace in such a character as this? You wouldn't say no, would you, if one came in like this, the Swayze Chapel, and she had such a past, and you saw the gospel enter into her heart, the effects of it, and the Lord there and taking it in? And then for there to be such a marked change, and for her to say, come, see a man that told me all things ever I did. I had conviction. I've been brought to this place where I can believe that I am a sinner. One thing to talk about. Another thing to believe. They marvel that he talked with. Here you see the harmless Lamb of God. In his pity, in his love, can we read this? In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. You know, friend, your redeemed soul is singing in glory now. Is there any willingness in your heart to share it with her? Share him where she is and say, well, if you could see it there, And there she is, but you won't know her, but you will share it with her. I believe she was a vessel of honor. She said this, and you say it, by the moving of the Spirit of God, is not this the Christ? Is not this the Christ? But this is the one that came and that was promised and has come. This is the one to bring salvation to sinners. I wonder if many of us in the chapel really know it, friends, for ourselves. I'm so afraid that people will just get indoctrinated with some idea of free and sovereign grace mentally and lose the proper thing. Miss it. And that past them, they should not understand what salvation really is by experience. It's coming home. We read that solemn, I call it a solemn chapter, the third of John this morning, when Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Ye must be born again, you must. Think of that. Didn't take a long time for this dear woman, did it? I say, dear, she's a dear woman now. You wouldn't have said so before, wouldn't you, an hour before? No, the time, the appointment, the time of grace, the time of salvation, the blessing of salvation, when it was so open to her, so revealed to her, and the Lord showed her state and condition, then she was able to see in herself nothing any good, but all in Christ. All was wrapped up in Him, and she felt it in her soul. Now, before we go on, I just want to make this very clear, and I do, we need much prayer to be delivered from this. I have that in my mind, and still I can need to pray a little bit about it. The question whether or not, well, could I accept this person? But I'm not the same, now, nor are you. We're not the same. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right to put me in my place? On more than one occasion, when I felt disgruntled here about something, some of his dealings, and sometimes with some of his people, put me right, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? He shall, friends, he shall. It brought me right then there to his feet where I had to say, yes, Lord. And why me? Why me? Why such a wretch as I, who must forever die in hell, were not salvation free? There's nothing any good in us, friends. Why should we look there, brother? There certainly wasn't anything any good in this poor woman, was there? Look at the sins, poor thing, poor thing. So you pity her in her sin, I pity her because she was left in it, that she should go right into it. But I rejoice in spirit, as Jesus said, that he should ever condemn, and she should be one of the living monuments of grace now in glory. There's hope for you, sinner, there's hope for you. When you consider not one in the chapel has ever gone as far as all that mercy that the Lord has spared each and all of us, you may say sometimes, well, my feet had almost slipped, well, nice slip. No, you let them slip quite, not quite, no, held you firm. You realize this, that in teaching you all things that ever you did, he gave you a little insight to what that is. Powers and his capabilities are in saving right to the end, right to the end. All that come unto God by him, everyone you know who feels and knows and are made to see that path and the feeling in their heart. What language has he put into your heart concerning the matter? She was able to say, first of all, come say of man that told me all things ever I did. He showed her it had a right effect. He revealed himself to her, and therefore in her message to these people, the men of the city, she was able to say, this is the cross. Here's the gospel. Here's the one by which salvation should come. Not by any other. No good, you see, for anyone to say, whatever did he go there for? Why did he go there? Why did he go to Samaria? He must leave. A good thing he went. I'm glad, ever so glad, and blessed be his name, that he must leave, come down into shore new graves and where this poor wretch was, where I was living a life of sin. He must needs come down to me, friends, in Jordan, near Craven, in 1938. He must needs come into that hospital and tell me he died for a sinner like me. After deep conviction of sin and cry for mercy, do you know the truth as it is in Jesus, do you? Or have you only got it by hearsay? Only my intent to hurt is not to hurt, it's for you and I just to come to him and say, Lord, do I know the way? If not, Lord, show us the way, show us the way. Told you many times, I can't bear to think any hero, wherever I go, may be left to be lost. It's not for me. I can't say the only point. There's nothing wrong in this. Paul had it in his heart, I would, he said, that all men might be saved, but he put this unto it, and so must I, and I do. Yet not I, not what I do, but according to the will of God. And deep is the mystery of the mind and will and God of God in saving sin. And many of them, understand. I remember when my poor old mother said to me once, I was only a boy when she was baptized, and she said to me afterwards at a church meeting, she didn't feel that she was saying very, very much. But you know, afterwards there was an old man inside, and he said, he belonged to the church, and he said to someone, but in the evening she was a good woman, let alone come and join the church. No, he never inquired of her. All I know about her is this, when she died, before she died, I said to her, Mother, how is it? And she said to me, a guilty, weak, and helpless worm on thine arm, my fall, be thou my strength, my righteousness, my Jesus, and my all. And when the hour comes, she slid her head down on the pillar, she said, O Lord, and away her soul went. And then he couldn't understand why she was called to see, why she was called. Many peculiarities she had, poor old dear, but we all got them somewhere. But I believe there in the root of her heart there was some good thing toward the Lord God of Israel. Now I wonder if there is with us. There was a woman with a character. Consider glory. Consider all those 10,000s of 10,000s, yes, of redeemed souls. Do you think that's exaggerating? Come over into Revelation. And there will be thousands and ten thousands and thousands that are redeemed, we read, by the blood of the Lamb. You take 100 years and see how many there have been made manifester that Jesus Christ died for. You come down to the 1,000 of years and 2,000. And then gather up all the elect of God, the election of Christ. And the wonderful part about how it is, there's none of us that have got a just right anywhere
to say, well, that one is damned and gone to hell forever and ever, because we don't know what God does in those last hours. There was only one dying thief, but there will only be one of you and one of me. And I sincerely pray day by day. I want to. I hope it's sincere. But in that red moment, oh, to hide beneath his sheltering blood, that will be a safe place for me. And a safe place for you. But this morning we can't build upon anything else if we're in the right mind and we alter right. Do we want to build upon anything else? You consider what she had. Come see a man. Look at man. Not like the psalmist. He looked at man and he felt grievous about him. Times when men burnt him and injured him. They didn't mind at what ends they went. It was hatred and jealousy and bitterness with them. And the poor man, again and again, he had this thrown at him and that and something else. He had to say to his God, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Again he felt, well, what is man? He said, I will not fear what man should do unto me. His God sustained him. Now here is a different man, the God-man, Jesus Christ. Come and see him. And you know this must be most mysterious and strange language to these Samaritans. They'd never heard this sort of language before, I'm sure. They had it in their own way of worship. But they hadn't heard of the Christ, the Son of God. They hadn't heard of free and sovereign grace. And that sort of preaching would be altogether different to what they had heard ever before. God used her as Jesus had spoken it into her soul, and she was used to take this message to the men of the city. You ever taken a message? You don't always have to get up in the pulpit to take the message, you know, friends. The dear psalmist wasn't in the pulpit when he said this, and I believe his heart glowed with love to God's people. He said, come, hear all ye that fear God, and I will declare unto you what he hath done for my soul. Oh, what precious language I feel that is. You see who he was speaking to. Ye that fear God, ye that love the Lord. You who have an interest in the atoning blood of the dear Redeemer. And the dear man has the same interest, you see. So how do you know? Go back to the look in the Psalm again, 51, and you will see how he besought his God that he may be washed from all his sin and guilt. The same language you have to use. It wasn't a borrowed language, it wasn't a dry doctrine, he was in need. He was desperate. Wash me, and I shall be white as snow. Same way as this poor woman, Christ Jesus spoke to her, and he spoke to her, you know, out of water. And do you notice what she did? She left her water pot. Oh, I wonder how many of us have been made willing to leave our water pot. Leave everything for Jesus' sake. Say, leave all and follow him. Think of the disciples. Cannot be my disciples. Cannot be. I'm going to take this, I'm going to take that, and all this, and realm this and other realm that. So much that we love in the world, the Lord says, no, you are to leave everything. And when he said everything, I believe he meant everything. Mother, father, brother, sister, wives, children, houses, land, and all that you have, doesn't matter what else it may be, all that you have, unless your heart is so engrossed in it, you will find that that is hard going. The Lord has given you this, some teaching and some lesson of separation. And when he does that, oh, what a blessing it is to separate, to cut asunder, separate you that you may love him. And this woman, she left her water pots, the very things that were necessary to her. She needed them for the water. She had a family to attend to. She still had a man in the house who needed to be fed, but she could put everything away, and she left him. She left the water pot. She left everything, but she didn't leave this. She didn't leave Christ and forget about him. He had really preached into her very soul. Now that's what you see a little of today, and not too much of it. A little of Christ, just a little. And that's why things are so sorrowful, such a sorrowful state. There is such a little of leaving those water pots. Do you see, she was asking, humanly speaking, to be hated of all men for Christ's sake, because of this act. It really doesn't matter, you know, does it? To be hated for his sake. If on my head for thy dear name shame and reproaches be, or I reproach and welcome shame, if thou remember me, O for Jesus to remember poor sinners like us, and to tell us all that ever we did, and to reveal to us that he is our salvation. It's all in him, and you cannot find it anywhere else. Doesn't matter where you cry. Might a man think, oh well, he's always on separation, he's always this cutting asunder. So it is, so it is. And if we resent it, we're offended because of it, it's because of it. The truth is in us. If we have grace, grace never is offended of that the truth. Self is, carnal nature is. I've said more than once, but I didn't belong to the man when I'm going to examine myself, I said it's me. It's me. He cut up too much. He cut asunder too much, didn't he? But learn over the years, it is a separation, leaving the water pots, put overboard. Doesn't matter who near and dear. Look upon me, woman there. The water pots for this water. Didn't they need it? Their lunch, their tea, their breakfast, their supper. For different things that they used water for in the house. Wasn't it necessary? Yes, friends, and so it is to have money and gold and silver, whatever it is, notes and brass, but it's not so needful as to pour everything contempt upon Christ and his gospel and his house and his ordinances. This is what's being done so largely today. This is why the trouble is inside. We do not, for the most part, leave the water pots. We have them so we can so easily pick them up. How is it with you? You know, when you can say to the Lord, well, I can do without this. I can do without it. And I believe that's pleasing to the Lord when he sees such willingness created in the heart. I can leave it. Lord, and they go into lady's sitting. Now, it was business for her to speak of, wasn't it? And it was the business of Jesus Christ, remember. Very much of his business that we attended to this last week. You just top it up to see how much money you made at the end of the week, how things are, worry about the shopping, the home, all those material things. Have you ever talked about this? How many moments you've spoken of the things of Jesus to another fellow sinner? You might say, well, I don't get the opportunity. I don't leave them. You know, sometimes here and there, I find some of the sweetest moments of being speaking to someone that doesn't know it. So they don't understand. You will find this now and again, the Lord gives them an ear, and they will listen. And they have said to me a good many times in my life, I've never heard it explained like that before, and the poor things never have the opportunity. Because where they attend or do not attend, or where some of them do, it's never put forward. I've never had it explained like this before. Jesus didn't only explain, he preached it. She received, she told it. And what joy, I believe, filled her heart. What rejoicing there was, I believe, in heaven over this one sinner that repented. It isn't forgotten with today. It is exactly the same. I would love to think again and again of the time when the Lord began with me, I hope, and when he did pardon my sin, I could say, look, the crucified Christ is not just the Christ to save me from the act, to save me from falling into a deserved pit, isn't this the one? Have you ever been brought to this condition, this place? And I believe we must leave it in a moment or two. I believe to this woman, it was the joy and rejoicing of her heart to take this message to the city, to the men of the city. Now, last thought, she went, you know, with the message that I believe was given to her by Jesus Christ, because he was so real to her. Her message was conveyed with power. They came to hear him themselves. Now we believe. Not because of the saying of the woman. We have heard him ourselves. Now we may well ask, have we heard him ourselves? Have we ever heard the voice of Jesus? Have we ever had that blessed gospel invitation, being poor and needy and weak and wretched and ruined and lost? Come, he said, to these, he doesn't say to those that have no need. There is no welcome to a sinner without any need. Of course, for him, they don't want to come. Jesus said, come to those that are needy, that are wretched, that are poor, that are lost, that are undone, that far off, that feel their need of him. Come unto me. And you say, if I can't come, he puts the bands of love around him. And in his appointed time, sinner, he will draw you to him in such a way that you will say, is not this the Christ? He is. And I only desire that I could love him and serve him better, and as I said many, many times, to live nearer to his heart. Would I love that? I sometimes put my head on the pillow, weary, more than weak, and praise, Lord, that may lay my weary head upon thy loving breast. Is not this the cross, the physician, that healer, the savior, the one with medicine to spare, and he has it to spare, he has it for you and for any other poor, needy sinner. I emphasize this. Don't think the needy, those that are not needy, they will want it. They will be able to say this is the Christ, it is the needy. And he says this often. When the poor and needy seek water, you find none. Their souls faileth for thirst. I, the Lord, will hear them. And he will do many, many things for them. And you couldn't have anything better than this, than to have a most gracious revelation of Jesus. And when he reveals himself to your soul, and you go over and say, he's mine. He's revealed himself to me. You won't want anything else. You'll need your water bottles. You won't even want to go back home to the material things. You'll nurse him like Simeon nursed the baby.